AM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, your CBD store in West Mobile, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
And Debbie Love's Seafood Shed, yes. It was neat. They had Toys for Tots over there this weekend, man, Saturday and Sunday.
Big event.
Yeah, big deal. You know, people were bringing in toys and having breakfast at their new Saturday and Sunday morning breakfast event over there at Rise and Shine.
Oh, yeah.
And they have breakfast from 8 to 11, and then they have their regular food. Starts at 11 to the, you know, in the afternoon, like it always has in the past. But there's no one on the causeway that's actually serving breakfast now. So, again, people coming in there from the, all, you know, even Spanish Fort and all that area.
Right.
And Mobile
That for sure. Yeah. You know, it's plus you got the campgrounds right there by them.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Jim, let me check. I'm over there Saturday morning, Sunday morning. And I'm sitting in there and I'm eating breakfast and I'm talking to Nick and I said, damn, I know that lady. And those people sitting on the back porch out there, he said, really, who are they? I said, man, that's Trudy's daughter that used to own the Tiny Diner.
Oh, yeah.
I said, you know, when they come from Mobile that used to own the Tiny Diner for 40 or 50 years, and they come to Ed's, don't that tell you about what kind of food that they got
exactly.
over there now?
Boy, Tiny Diner had the best desserts.
Don't you know that? Those big old pies that had all that whipped cream on them. And,
Yeah, it's stacked meringue
up there about 5 inches tall. You know?
I can't remember the lady's name that used to make that, but make the pies and stuff. But she was
She was awesome, man, I tell you.
Yeah, they had one waitress over there that she did a wonderful job, but she didn't take nothing off nobody, I guarantee you.
She was a batty rooster, buddy.
Yeah, she kept you straight. You know, you didn't give her no
she didn't jerk her not
crap,
at you,
I guarantee
not
you.
At you right quick. Yeah. But that was neat to look up and see the fact that the original owners of the Tiny Diner for so many years that had run it, and well, her daughter was there and her husband. I think he's a fireman.
Yeah.
And they run that store, you know, when Trudy Shackelford kind of semi-retired. But that's just neat to know that they're comparing, their, you know, the food. And they would drive out of Mobile over to the causeway, which is, what, 10 minutes, 8 minutes?
Right.
You know, to partake of the victuals over there. And I walked out there and talked to her, and she said, look at these biscuits. Man, you know, we used to try to make biscuits this big.
You know, big cat-head biscuits.
Yeah. But what happened is they've done some kind of mixture or something with the cat-head-style biscuit and a biscuit from Pennsylvania that those people up there cook. They have the big old biscuits. They actually are big enough you could slice them in half and then put those. Man, they got some peach preserves.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Melted your mouth.
Good food.
They still open. I might have time to get over there.
Tarker sells right into going over there for dinner.
Taking
again,
a
too.
Long break.
No, Charlie, you got to stay here.
Yep.
Y'all are on your own. I'm sorry.
We're on our own. Well, let's fix some cars, guys.
Yep, absolutely. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106.
That's neat.
I know we got Christmas coming up right around the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, hope everybody has got their car ready for a little cool weather. We got another cool snap coming up here this week. But
Doesn't feel like it today. Did you ever find the bows for the cars?
Oh, yeah, we got bows on cars out there. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We got a parking lot full of them. We got a parking lot full of cars,
I
guarantee.
Somebody's going to surprise somebody for Christmas.
Yeah.
Bows on the cars. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's Christmas bows, you know.
Y'all have red ones? Y'all got
we got
red,
big red bows
red
on
bows
some of our cars out
cars.
There for sure. But,
or yellow and green and gold.
I think all ours are red right
all
now.
All y'all's so. Red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all got comfortable
That's
bows.
Right. That's right. But we do... Yeah, we do have a lot full of cars out there. We're actually having to shuffle things around just so we can find parking spots out
there
for them.
Yeah, because y'all probably blow out about 100 of them between now and Christmas.
I certainly hope so. I know Don certainly does. But let's get to one of our callers. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Hey, I talked to y'all last week about my son had an accident on 65.
Right.
And it was on 14 Sonata. They towed it out. They say cost $12,000 to repair.
Oh my God!
And it was valued at $10,000, and SunTrust took their $2,000 out, so he got $8,000.
Right.
It only had 6,000 miles on it, but what can you do?
Yeah, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, if it's got that kind of damage, you just got to take it and move on. That's what you got insurance for, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But let me ask you a question. Is it a good time of the year to buy a car around Christmas time or this time of year, or just any money is a good time?
Well, you know, there's really no real bad times, but, you know, the end of the year is not a bad time because I guarantee you the dealers are trying to move that inventory before the end of the year. You know, if it's on their lot, they're going to pay tax on it, you know. Come the first year, you know, they want to move it. They want to get things cleared up for this year.
2019s?
Yeah. I mean, they've got 20s on the lot now. So, you know, it's a good selection between the two. The 20s have been out for a little while, so they're really wanting to get rid of the 19s.
And he's in Huntsville, but he'll be home on the 20th.
Yeah.
And he wants a car so bad, man. I told him, well, just wait till you get down here and we go look. But I tried to, E25.
Yeah.
But listen to me now. I tried to say, look, man, there's a little SUV he rented right now. And I said, well, let's get one together, and I'll pay half of it and no for you.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I want me a Camaro or a Mustang. You know, and I'm trying to tell him, man, if my daddy would offer me a deal like that, I'd have took it.
Yep. Well, so, it just can't be cool in an SUV.
I try to talk to the boy. I don't know why. I just feel different now for some reason.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me what to do? He's too big for a belt.
they're never too big
you
for
you know
belt.
What? Let him pay his own note. Yep. Then he could buy whatever the hell he wants to buy.
There you go.
But if he's 6'3", who's going to sit behind him in a Mustang or Camaro?
Yeah. Well, I don't care how tall y'all are, you're not going to sit behind anybody in a Mustang or Camaro. The seat back there is for insurance purposes so they can call it a four-seater.
Right, you know? Right.
Last question. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend buying a lease car or brand new?
There's good arguments for both. You know, if you can get a good price on a pre-owned, which is, you know, an off-lease vehicle, you know, it's not a bad deal. And you know, actually leasing a car, there's arguments for that as well, you know, but if you're somebody that puts a lot of miles on a car, you don't really want to go with a lease because, you know, you have mileage limits on what you can drive on the leases.
I'm finna let you go, but this is the last question.
Okay.
What about buying a rental car from like Enterprise or Ace or something? You got any preference about stuff like that?
You know, I don't have a real problem with it. We have some on our lot as well. We go through a pretty stringent inspection process, and we do reject some and send them back, you know.
Okay.
The problem with rental cars is most of the time any kind of damage is not reported to Carfax.
Okay.
Because they're self-insured, so they don't have to report anything, you know. But if the car is inspected well and everything's in good shape, no real problem, you know.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll put them in service and they'll pull them back out pretty quick, so they got low mileage on them. So,
yeah.
You know, it really just depends. You know, it really does.
So I can't whoop the boy, so you ain't got no other solution for me.
Let him buy his own car, brother.
Let him start doing the math on the car payments.
I know if you get a sports car, I can imagine how the insurance is going to be high.
Oh, yeah. Well, the insurance is going to be the next big thing.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it becomes a police magnet, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if he's how old did you say he was?
He's 25 going on 26. I guess he's getting it for the girls, I guess.
The girls ain't going to make those payments, though.
Exactly.
All right, y'all guys, I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Can't go wrong by going by UJ.
Exactly. But we're going to take a break, let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
She runs, sometimes she don't. More than what she's left me on the side of the road. The older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. She needs needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around on four ball tires. The wipers don't work and the horn don't blow, but there ain't nothing wrong with a radio.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. But we were just sitting here talking about Snowball Derby and... They just finished up the race here just before we come on air.
Unbelievable scenario of such a outstanding group of race cars. I have I went over there Wednesday night, and I have you know, because we had a tape show on Wednesday, and it was unbelievable the amount of cars that was there.
It's I tell you, you just walk around. Used to be you would go over to, you know, a big race like Snowball. It's always been a huge race.
There's always
been a bunch of cars there. But you would have your 15, 20 cars that were really top-notch quality cars.
Right, they were capable of winning.
And then there was a bunch of field fillers.
Yeah. There's another 30 fillers, field fillers.
Right. There was cars there that did not make the race that were top flight, top teams. Anywhere in the country.
Anywhere in the country, and they were very dominant in all of their home racetracks.
Yep, and did not make it. And big names.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking about quality drivers.
Mega bucks and big mega names. I mean, I saw some NASCAR drivers there, and a lot of the NASCAR and different three stages of NASCAR vehicles, the trucks and the Xfinity and the monster cars. And all kind of those guys, mechanics and techs there, working on these cars.
Right.
So they got everything that there is brand new, all the technology.
Yeah, all the latest technology and just the suspension and shock technology packages nowadays is crazy.
Kevin, I walked by a couple of trailers, and I see as many as 20 or 30 shocks hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, how much are those a piece?
A
thousand?
It's probably a fair number.
1,000 to 2,000. According to how much work you had done on it.
It depends on the bump package and spring package and all that you have on them. Who you had build them, and just buying the shock is not really the hard part.
Right.
I mean, I can go out there and buy the exact same shock that any car out there has on it. It's the technology that's put into it when they build it and valve it
and the tuning,
what to do with
tuning
them.
Factors and all that they instill in those shocks and the packages that you have to put with them to make them work.
When they're putting these cars on, a conventional car has a spring and it rests on spring on all four corners, okay? These cars, they do have a spring on all four corners, but it's just there to kind of hold the car up to get it through tech. Once you hit the racetrack with it and it gets up to speed, that car actually falls down on top of bump stops. Then it's riding around the racetrack basically on a solid suspension setup.
You could see the cars, jumping and moving like a go-kart does.
It's set up a lot like a go-kart. And they're actually – and they're measuring, shock travel in thousands. And, the cars that are right, they'll be within 10, 15, 20 thousandths per corner as to where the target they're trying to hit, make it work.
I had a guy tell me today that they were checking temperatures on rotors on a car after it went out there. And I believe he quoted me. I'm going to be close with these. They won't be 100%. But he quoted a figure of something like 207 degrees left rear.
Mm-hmm.
Right front was 340.
Right.
Left front was maybe 302, and the right rear was like 280.
Yeah.
And he says, what have I got? He says, you got a perfect car.
Yeah.
He says, and that's all the heat factor that you've got in those rotors.
Yeah, if your hottest rotor's in the 300-degree range, you're not using much brake.
You're not using much brake, buddy. And they were like the top three in that class in their speed.
Yeah.
But now, those that package they had on there, was that PFCs or whatever they are?
Right.
PFCs. What's that whole package cost for a car?
Oh, you'd be...
$5,000, $6,000?
Yeah, at least. By the time you get the rotors and the calipers,
that's
the rotors.
That's $5 brakes, isn't it? It didn't go to budget to get those.
No. And, you know, our car, we always had incredible brakes on our car. Run Wildwood stuff.
Good product, yeah.
And everybody that's ever got in our car is like, wow, what kind of brakes y'all have in the same? Yeah. And it's just all that it's all matched together
right,
well.
Right. You got a match package.
Right. But we've always, luckily at Mobile, Pensacola, you don't have to use a lot of brake, you know. We've gotten where JJ, who drives for us, he may go a whole race and not touch the brakes.
Say what?
Yeah.
Were you running that tall of gear?
No, not, you know, we're limited on RPM, so we don't get to run a lot of gear. But it's just all, you got to get the car where it rolls through the middle.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
If you can make the car, roll, you don't have to stop it.
If you run it as fast as they're running over there, I mean, close to 100 miles an hour, and you can let off going into the turn and you don't have to get on your brakes.
Actually,
that car's
getting
through the turn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at Pensacola, a super late model nowadays is probably running 125-ish. Ooh. Going off in the corner at the end of the straightaway.
Yeah, five wide.
Yeah. Until you get in the corner, then you come out about one or two wide.
Right.
So,
it's 12 deep, too.
Yeah, it doesn't always work. But right. We do have a caller on. Callie with us.
Go ahead, Colin.
Hello, this is Bill Rock. You all want to know who won the snowball derby?
Oh, yeah, give us an update.
That would be neat.
Steven Nassy.
Has he made it through Ricky Brooks yet?
No, he's first across the line.
Yeah, there you go. But there you go.
He started, if you all don't know, he didn't qualify well and opted not to run in the last chance race, so he was added to the field as the provisional from the Southern Super Series, so he started way in the back.
Yeah.
But at the end, it was Steven Nassy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Good deal. And somebody told me, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he lost his power steering about 80 laps into it.
He said that. That was the first thing he said. I mean, he about cried. That snowball, people just have no idea how big the snowball derby is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he said he lost it at lap 80, and he said, my arms are coming off.
I'm sure.
He was so wore out, but it was a terrific race.
Yeah.
The rules for the snowball derby are the last five laps have to be green.
Right.
So it doesn't matter about 300 when you get a caution close to 300. I think it went 318 laps.
Yeah.
And on the final straightaway, not the final straightaway, but on the straightaway, on a restart with two to go, Ty Majeski from up in Minnesota had led for at least 100 laps. He was really strong. Well, he spun the tires, which slowed him down just a little bit. So the car behind him got him out of shape, and there was a terrific, terrific smash up on the front straightaway. Took a lot of good cars out.
Yeah.
Took him out. Took Casey Roderick out. Took took Jeff Choquette, Steven Nassy's teammate, out. So it was drama all the way to the very end.
Yeah, I tell you. I heard they definitely had some tore up sheet metal over there today. But can you fill us in a little bit on some of the other classes from the weekend?
It's the Derby, baby. They'd do anything at all, anything at all to win that thing.
Oh yeah, you'd run over your mother to win that race. I guarantee.
Absolutely, and your grandmother sitting beside her.
Exactly, exactly. Exactly.
No, my grandmama would be cracking off the rounds out of that shotgun.
There's just no way. I know you've been, Tom, and I know you have, Kevin, but every year it gets bigger, and it so far has outgrown that facility.
Yeah.
But somehow they fit all the people, and they fit all the cars in there. It's just terrific. Now, today, unfortunately, yesterday we lost because of the weather.
Right.
And today, certainly not everybody came back.
Yeah,
boy, what a terrific race! There's no question; it's the best race of the season.
Right. Have you heard any kind of updates on Neil Bonnett's grandson?
Some, yeah. He broke his leg, maybe in a couple of places. He has burns to his chin and his nose and his face and I think on his hands.
Yeah.
What that tells me is probably didn't have a sock on his helmet and just was relying on the fireproof foam inside of there. But
right.
They took him, I think, to Sacred Heart at first. And then they flew him over here to USA Burn Center because they're much better with burn.
Right, right.
But he's going to make it. He's going to be okay.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
Either of you see that accident?
I saw video of it. I wasn't over there. But it was nasty looking on TV, I guarantee you.
That was really scary. I guess it was Bonnet that got into this local guy, Jared Parker's rear end.
Right.
And the fuel cell came out.
Hmm.
And the fuel cell went up on Justin Bonnet's hood.
Oh, wow.
And struck the car on the windshield.
Yep. Yep.
And then it got under Bonnet's car. It was out, and as you know, a fuel cell is just a tin can around a bladder.
Right.
And somehow that tin can tore open, and then, of course, when the bladder ripped open, it was a scary, huge fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad he's going to be okay. That's a scary one for sure. That's always been one of my bigger fears in a race car. You know, taking a lick is one thing, but burning is not good. Yeah.
Well, it isn't, and you know, when you have a broke leg.
Yeah, well, and that was the big thing, is he couldn't get himself out of the car, I'm sure.
Himself, but somebody's got to get you out of there.
Right, exactly, exactly. All right, Bill, I appreciate you calling in and giving us an update on what went on today and over the weekend.
If you had the winner on there, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part, but you were talking, I thought maybe y'all didn't know yet.
No, we hadn't got there yet. We were, but I appreciate you calling in and giving everybody the update on that. But absolutely, some great racing from what I understand over the weekend. I was over there Thursday night.
What did you say on the Snowball Derby, Kevin? The Room of Doom takes 2-3 hours anyway, right?
Oh yeah, exactly, exactly. But
you don't know.
Four, and it was over a little over seven. So I guess maybe by midnight we'll know everybody, everything.
Yeah, and there's already been a few cars that fell victim to that Tech Barn over there this weekend. So,
for sure.
Hopefully everybody was playing by the rules at this point, and everybody gets through and goes home happy where they were. So,
Bill. See.
Yep, well, I certainly appreciate it. Sound like we've actually come up to a break here, but I do appreciate you calling in and giving us an update. And I'm sure you're wore out and ready to take a break tonight.
You know, this is supposed to be my vacation from radio work, but I mean, it's so much work, it's hardly a vacation. But just like you, Kevin, you wouldn't do it if you didn't love it.
Exactly. So.
Thank you for all that you do, Bill, for our racing and all this year that you've been announcing and even running some of the tracks. And also, you know, as well as being a driver and racing in numerous series, you are a racing nut, but you do a damn good job of it.
See, here's the deal, Tom. You train Kevin. I'm not trained anybody. I got to keep on doing it.
I'm trying to get out from under this crutch and let him have it.
Yeah.
I got to find me my Kevin. That's what I got.
There you go. Right. You got to find your Kevin. You got to find your race doctor. I got my car doctor.
There you go. There you go. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate it. It sounds like we need
to
take
our
break. All
right, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care, Bill.
All right.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I do believe we have a caller online. We have Terry. Terry, you with me?
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you tonight?
The GM great mind that Kevin has, I've had one run by and stumping me, and he might could point me in a direction, or I'm either going to bring this thing to him.
Okay.
But I'm having blend door issues with heating and cooling.
Okay.
11 Silverado.
Okay.
Bought it during June, and it had ice cold air, and I was like, man, this is me.
Yeah.
Well, 5 months later, I turned the heat on, and it blows cold.
Hmm. Okay.
It's dual automatic, passenger and driver,
right. Separate
controls. The heater did work on the passenger side.
Yeah, yeah.
Not on the driver's side. And my neighbor's a mechanic for Davidson Oil. He said, I know what it is. It's an actuator, blend door actuator, and I know straight above the hump.
Right.
I got one. He slapped it in there. I had heat. I said, man, thank you.
Yep.
Then one of them warm days, I turned it back to cool. We have no cold. It blows heat all the time.
Yeah.
It blows heat even when it ain't on, when I turn the power off.
Right. Well, and that's because the heater door's open.
We did a lot of YouTube searches, and I had to go through this calibration of the actuators, and
right.
We pulled the fuse, and we started it up, and it went to 74, and you can't hear the doors and opening and closing on them like you could the older 90 models.
Right.
But still, I have constant heat on the driver's side, no matter, you know, what you set the control climate to.
Right.
And I don't know if it's an actuator issue. I've been told the dealers set them up and calibrate them on computers, and that might, I don't know if that's better than it doing it by pulling the fuse and trying to restart it.
Well,
or if it's in the control module itself, you know, on
right.
the driver's side.
Well, more than likely it's going to be the actuator itself, but yeah, they're the way we do it, we have our scanner that'll go in there and we can command it to recalibrate the actuators and actually watch them. Well, I can't do it while it's calibrating, but when I can go back and see if it's able to learn it and control it the way it's supposed to.
What we noticed, the guy that changed it out for me, when yeah. he unbolted it and took it out, the wire was already unplugged, and he was like,
huh.
Did I accidentally do that, or did somebody already unplug this thing? And I'm thinking that by them unplugging it, it defaulted to the cool.
Well, and what they did is they got it to the cool side and unplugged it, yeah. And then that way it was cold all summer long, and then come wintertime it defaulted to hot.
Yeah, wouldn't work at all because it was unplugged.
Right.
We put a new one in it, and it still defaulted to heat and
right.
won't go back. Even though we went through the so-called calibration issue, it's stuck on heat for the driver's side only.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's a possibility that you have a control head issue, but you know, one good thing is it does sound like the door is working in the heater box, in the AC, you know, box.
Yeah, because if you unplug the actuator, it will go to AC, but
yeah.
if you plug up the actuator, it's stuck on heat.
Right, right. You know, more than likely, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, I would have to go through a electronic calibration on it and try and see if it will learn.
Yeah.
If not, 99% of our problems are the actuators themselves.
Right.
Every once in a while, you will see a control, you know, issue. It's just not very often. You know.
Okay. I may just bring it to you. It's hard for me to be without it, though, and leave it with you. So, but
I understand.
I'll get my old one charged up and running or something here
yeah.
soon and do that. On
yeah.
another note, I wanted to wish healing prayers to Justin. Neil Bonnet was a distant cousin of mine through my mama's side. Her mother was a column before Matthew. She married.
Yeah.
And from up around Calera, Alabama, and I never met Neil or any of his kids, but
yeah.
I always had that connection there in the family.
Right, right. Yeah, that's always a scary deal. I mean, it can happen anytime you strap into one of these cars. But
it seems like they got him out pretty quick, and it could have been a lot worse.
And I watched the video, and it kind of amazed me as bad as the fire was, how quick they got him out of the car.
Right.
Because obviously he couldn't help a whole lot.
Big time, but it backed off enough they could get up there and get him out, and he only got the extremities. And my father-in-law is a fire chief in Mobile here that got burned around the neck and face talking on the radio in a grain elevator explode, ignition back 20 years ago or so. If it ain't too severe, it just takes some time. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, well, that's good. I hate to see that happen to anybody, for sure. It's a scary deal in a race car. I've been in a few nasty crashes myself. I've had motors blow up and flame up, but never really got in the car bad enough to call it a real problem.
It's a wonder I didn't. I had a 65 Mustang that we used to do donuts in that the gas tank was rusted out on, and I had a 6-gallon Evinrude gas tank in the back floorboard with
Country
a rubber
boss telling on running
to the motor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Been there, done that. So.
We don't want to tell all the stupid stuff that we did back in the day, man. Come on.
When you pulled out that little 289 HO and punched it, when it caught second, it was going to swap ends. You just had to hang on.
Yep. Light up your life, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, where are we going to wind up? In a ditch or on the road?
That's right.
Which ditch?
All right.
Well, I appreciate it. I may bring you that one if I can figure out how to leave with you, because I know it ain't something I can sit there and wait on you to knock out. It's probably going to keep it a day or two.
Yeah, you're probably going to want to leave that one with me for just a little bit. But, get it to us, and we'll see what's going on with it for sure.
All right, man. I'll see y'all later.
All right.
Great show.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
He's giving away trade secrets.
Well, y'all talking about all that trick stuff and all that stuff that we did when we were younger that we don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But question, I was hit with this thing the other day, and lady's driving a Mercedes, and her check engine light didn't come on until her husband decided to check the oil and all in it just to see if it was okay.
Right.
And then we closed the hood, and she cranked it up, and it ran for a minute or two, and the check engine light come on.
Right.
And she asked me in front of him if he could have done something wrong. And I said, is it a newer car? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, a couple of years old.
Yep.
I said, oh, yeah. And he's going like, what? Take up for me, man. Take up for me.
That's right. Yeah.
But then explain to him why that doing something like that and can cause problems.
Right. Well, we all learned years ago in racing that you can make horsepower and power out of one. But
he's going out to check the dipstick now.
That's right. But you can make power and that on these cars by pulling a slight vacuum on the crankcase, which actually helps the ring seal up and do a better job. Okay, well, the manufacturers have caught on to that, and they're actually pulling a vacuum on the crankcase on the passenger cars now. So if you pull your dipstick out and you look at it, if you'll notice, there's usually an O-ring or two at the top of the dipstick to seal it off in the dipstick tube.
We didn't have that crap before back in the years.
Half the time, the dipstick tube didn't hardly seal.
I know. You know, you could run it without a dipstick.
Yeah. And the oil cap, they're sealed off, nice and tight. There's no
– They had large O-rings on it, too.
Right. And no external ventilation on the valve cover. So, basically, you're pulling the vacuum on the whole crankcase the whole time. Now – If you leave something like that open and let it draw air into the crankcase, all of a sudden you've created a vacuum leak, and you can actually have a lean condition because of that.
Which in turn will turn on the check engine light.
Which will turn on the check engine light.
Which is the little engine looking
Yeah, a little yellow orange looking engine thing on the dashboard. So
he was trying to get out from under that, but he was catching a lot of pressure.
I rolled him under the bus.
I know. But you know, it is what it is. She asked me a question.
That's right.
And
that's
I said, "Yes, ma'am, he could."
Well, you're supposed to just kind of say, "No, that never happened." He'd go take it in the shop, and I didn't know he'd clear it for him. And yeah, I'll see how you are. But that's all right. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And speaking of text, we have one from Michelle. Hello, Dr. Kevin. This is Michelle, 99 GMC Safari two-wheel drive. One shop said it is a wheel bearing. Another shop said it's rear end. If I turn the steering wheel to the right, it gets louder. And when you slow down, you hear it. My guess is you've got a front wheel bearing bad. You know, just by that, the rear end, the axle bearing and rear end can, but it's not as sensitive to swerving the vehicle like that. I'm going to have to say it's probably going to be a front wheel bearing, that's gone bad in it. I'd have to listen to it to know, for sure, but I'm going to be willing to bet you.
It's going to make a little noise when they put it up on a rack and rotate the tire.
Yeah, you usually can just jack it up and spin the front tire and you'll hear it. Those are usually not that hard to find.
Next question. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend they just change the one?
Well, on this one, on the 99, I'm trying to remember if it actually has I think it's actually individual bearings that you can go in and change, like the old school stuff. If that's the case, I would replace the inner and outer bearing and the races on that wheel, and at least pack the bearings on the other side.
Oh, okay.
You got to pack these.
And check them then, though.
Check them and clean them and pack them. But if one's gone bad, the others aren't far behind. If they
got the same mileage on them.
Come on. But it's they are serviceable on that particular vehicle, so you can get in there
Has an inner and outer bearing in a race.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, that's not a big deal to replace anyway.
No.
Somebody knows what they're doing. You just have to make sure that you don't burr that race up when you're replacing it, and make sure you get the right kind of grease this day and time to put in it.
Yep.
And don't over tighten it and don't leave it too loose.
Yep. Yep.
There's a little trick to that. You might tell them how to tighten that bearing.
Well, and there's a lot of people do it a lot of different ways. I'll put a wrench on it and I'll pull it down, and I'll pull it down pretty snug and just rotate the rotor several times to make sure everything's seated well. And then I back it off to I usually back it off about an eighth of a turn.
Right.
And then put my counter key on it.
We're on the same page.
It does a good job. It keeps a little bit of preload on it, but it's not over tightened. Those bearings, they're fine with some tension on them, but you don't want to really bow up on them.
Don't buy the cheapest wheel bearing grease that you could find either.
No, buy some decent wheel bearing grease, and or have somebody do it that knows what they're doing, and they'll use the right stuff.
They have heavy duty wheel bearing grease. They have synthetic wheel bearing grease now, and it's got a lot of really good products on there that normally, if you use one of those top of the line greases and you properly torque the bearings, you're normally not going to lose one.
Right, exactly. And we saw more of this back years ago when most vehicles had these serviceable bearings on them. It became so easy to put disc brake pads on that everybody was able to do their own and save the money.
Well,
everybody just put pads on. They didn't go in and service the bearings and pack them and all that. Well, a lot of that went away on the newer ones because it was a non-serviceable bearing. It was a hub bearing on the front.
Right.
It was a sealed unit, and you know, if it went bad, you just replace the whole thing. But it, they weren't. They were, it wasn't something that needed to be serviced every time you did the brakes on it. There was a lot of people that could put pads on, but they didn't know how to service the road and the bearings.
Right. That's so true. Yeah.
So yeah,
they didn't have the knowledge on the proper installation of the races. I've seen so many people that would leave the old races in and just put a new bearing in on an old race.
Yeah, and then that's not a good idea.
That's not a good idea. You know, you've got you got a brand new sharp polished surface, and then you've got a rough surface. So what's going to happen? Your rough surface is going to eat the new bearing up.
Right, right. You end up with two wore out pieces again.
Right. Yeah.
Shortly.
You know.
Yep. No
just
doubt.
Wasted your time.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, in Michelle's case, since both sides have been on for the same amount of time, would she be a come out ahead in the long run of go ahead and replace both sides?
Well, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have to replace both sides. I would just have to check them and clean them. This is Michelle back with they packed the bearings with the front brake job in February of 2019.
That's not very long ago.
It's not very long ago. Maybe they didn't get them packed well, and maybe or possibly they over tightened them or something along those lines.
Right.
So,
I
would still go there first. Yeah.
Here we go again. Now I'm talking about the good grease a while ago and all. There is such a thing as the cheap bearings and the good bearings.
Right.
We've got a lot of both on the market.
Oh yeah.
If you go in and they've got a $8 bearing and they've got a $14 bearing. Don't buy the $8 bearing.
Spend the extra $6.
Buy a couple. Spend a couple extra bucks.
Spend some extra bucks. Yeah. You know, we don't need the Taiwanese and the Vietnam bearings in there.
Yeah.
You know, when you could get a Timken or something like that.
Right.
It's American battery bearing.
Right. Exactly. But it all you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You
know?
And
I want to before we get out of here, we don't have much time, I don't think, but I want to remind everybody about the CBD store out on Hillcrest, the CBD store of West Mobile. I ran into a scenario this weekend that I thought was very unique, and I wanted to bring it forth to you. And I was talking to an insurance gentleman that sells insurance all over the state of Alabama, and I asked him if he had run into any scenarios with the CBD products that maybe our senior citizens were having good luck with it, maybe not having good luck. He said, man, I cannot believe the luck that people are having with the CBD salve and all. He said, we've got people that's got all kind of hip problems and knee problems and leg problems. Mm-hmm. And he said, they got pull muscles or shoulders are hurting and all. And he said, they can get off of those opioids and they can rub the CBD salve and all on them and say they get immediate relief. He said, it's a miracle. I don't understand it, but he said, I'm glad to see it because I want to take care of my customers.
Exactly.
And that's neat. You should need to consider that, and we highly recommend the CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest across from the Waffle House.
Yep.
Go out there and see Brother Joe Brown. He will treat you right.
Yep, absolutely. But while we still got a couple of minutes, I do believe, I want to give a little shout-out to Jerry Goff, part of our race team with J.J. Day. Jerry was driving a pure stock at Snowball Derby this past Thursday night, and he brought the win home.
Awesome!
So, car's owned by McCarron Services, A.J. McCarron and Rusty McCarron.
All right.
J.J., crew chief's a car. I help him out a little bit with setup stuff on it.
That's cool. Okay.
Did a wonderful job. Car was very fast and survived the room of doom.
The room of doom. Hey, waiting on the track is just one thing, and then you got to get through the room of doom.
Hell yeah. He actually come home second. We were actually the fastest car on the track there the last, 15, 20 laps probably. Just kept getting lap cars in the way and everything else, couldn't get around. But come to find out, one of the reasons we couldn't get around is we were a little down on horsepower compared to
the really? Mean they had the better horsepower than y'all?
Yeah, theirs was a little better.
Aren't those crate motors?
Well, no, not crate on that one, but it's basically a stock motor, or supposed to be.
They have
slightly modified.
It was a little modified?
Yeah, it was modified.
Nobody would do that.
Yeah.
Nobody would cheat.
Theirs handled on the straightaway a little bit better than ours did.
okay. Like run away from you?
Yeah. So it Yeah, but that's proud of them. I just wanted to give them a shout out. Did a great job, and very, very good night for everybody. Brought home one piece. That's all good. So,
awesome, awesome.
Yeah, they're always a good good thing to be able to bring home a win from snowball.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal in any class you're over there. I want everybody to come out and see us at UJ Chevrolet. We've got a great inventory. That'll make you a good deal this month, I guarantee you. But come out and see what we got going on. And
plenty of new cars, plenty of used cars, plenty of good cars.
Plenty of new and used.
And an awesome service department. Ask for the car doctor.
Yeah, if he's not back there pulling his hair out.
Bouncing off the wall.
That's usually what I'm doing.
Yep. So. And out to all of our vets and first responders, we thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you on what you're doing. Well, big hoorah.
Back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the...